I find it truly amazing that one of the most famous and passionate pieces of messianic worship music came from the lips of an unbeliever, Bilam, a Gentile prophet, who interestingly came from a town within the territory of the tribe of Manasseh. Listen to the first few words of this tune with me, known as Ma Tovu, as we sang this morning. How lovely are your tents, O Yaakov, your dwellings, O Israel. What did these words mean to Balaam when he uttered them, and particularly what do they mean to us today? Abba Father, blessed and holy God, we thank you so much for the lessons that you provide us through your word. We thank you so much for leading us and guiding us with the teachings that you provide for us on a weekly and on a daily basis. Abba, we thank you and we praise you. And we pray that the message that you provide for us today will go deep into our hearts and will lead us on a daily implementation starting today. When Adonai implanted these words of blessings into the heart and the lips of the Gentile prophet Balaam, he was standing on a hill gazing out over the Israelite camp. What he saw is outlined in Numbers 23. How lovely are your tents, Yaakov, your dwellings, Yisrael. They spread out like valleys, like gardens by the riverside, like succulent aloes planted by Adonai, like cedar trees next to the water. The water will flow from their branches. Their seed will have water aplenty. Their king will be higher than Agag, and his kingdom lifted high. God, who brought them out of Egypt, gives them the strength of a wild ox. They will devour the nations opposing them, break their bones, pierce them with their arrows. When they lie down, they crouch like a lion or like a lioness. Who dares to rouse it? Blessed be all who bless you. Cursed be all who curse you. What was Balaam seeing, which set the stage for the blessing which came from his mouth? In previous readings, we have a fairly good idea of the structure of the Israelite camp. But to Balaam's eyes, this was a sight he may never have seen before. Stretched out before him as far as the horizon was a highly organized camp based on the commands of Adonai Elohim. As we read earlier in Exodus, about 3 million people, Israelites in the mixed multitude, were sighted within their tribes, and within their tribes, they gathered with their clans or family groupings. This sight overwhelmed Balaam, filled him with the blessing we read and sang this morning. Contained within Balaam's curse, which Adonai caused to be a blessing, is a prophecy which has received little attention. We find this in Numbers 24. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not soon. A star will step forth from Yaakov. A scepter will arise from Yisrael to crush the corners of Moab and destroy all descendants of Shet. Once again, we are presented with a prophecy covering several time periods. Clearly, Balaam's prophetic word brings us to the rise of King David, who did indeed bring together both halves of Adonai's land, Yisrael and Yehuda. In doing so, he managed to destroy the idolatrous nations represented by Moab and the nations which descended from Shet, one of the sons of Adon, surrounding the newly formed kingdom of Israel. However, the use of the term a star is a direct reference to Adonai Yeshua, the Messiah. How do we know this? There are many authoritative sources which give us this understanding. First, in the Hebraic understanding of the term, we see read from the Rambam, Rabbi Nachmanides, who, writing in the 12th century from both Numbers 24 and Daniel 7, claimed, "There shall step out a star from Yaakov, because the Messiah will gather together the dispersed of Israel from all the corners of the earth." Bilam compares him to a star which passes through the firmament from the ends of heaven, just as it is said about the Messiah, "And behold, there came within the clouds of heaven one like unto a son of man." In Matthew 2, the Magi came searching for Messiah, following his star, as we read in verse 2. "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Adonai Yeshua himself announced, as recorded in Revelation 22, "I, Yeshua, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the messianic communities. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star," thus giving absolute credence to the prophecy of Bilam. I find this incredibly fascinating. Adonai Elohim has taken the intended curse which the false and idolatrous prophet Bilam attempted to utter for his patron Balak and turned it into one of the prophecies of the coming of Messiah Yeshua. Why would the ruler of the universe use such an evil man for the sharing of his good news? This question gives rise to a deeper and broader inquiry. Why does Adonai use evil for good? Before we go further, I wish to reiterate most clearly, Adonai Elohim does not create sin. Neither does he tempt us with evil. As Yaakov, Messiah's brother, states in James 1, "No one being tempted should say, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, and God himself tempts no one. That his ways are just has been stated quite clearly in Deuteronomy 32. The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A trustworthy God who does no wrong, he is righteous and straight." And in 2 Samuel 22, we read, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of Adonai has been tested by fire. He shields all those who take refuge in him." Having established beyond a doubt Jehovah is not the author of sin, do you not find it somewhat disturbing that in the first chapter of Habakkuk, we read the following pronouncement from Adonai Tzavaot: "I am raising up the Kasdim, that bitter and impetuous nation, who march far and wide over the earth to seize homes that are not their own. All of them come for violence, their faces set eagerly forward, scooping up captives like sand. Then they sweep on like the wind, but they become guilty because they make their strength their God." In this passage, Kasdim is yet another name for Babylon. Why would Adonai use the evil Babylonian Empire to come against the world, principally Israel? In this passage, we see Adonai using Babylon as an instrument of punishment for his nation, his chosen nation, which turned against his ordinances and abandoned the sabbatical of the land commandments. Before we can approach the question, there are some basic understandings we first must address. Something which has bothered me ever since I came to faith was the understanding Adonai Tzavaot created both good and evil, but did not create sin, the implementation of evil. We learn this in Isaiah 45. "I form light, I create darkness. I make well-being. I create woe. I, Adonai, do all these things. This was announced to us right at the beginning of his word in Genesis 1. Darkness was on the face of the deep. In rabbinic thought, evil is not a force, but an absence of good. Just as darkness is the absence of light, just as cold is the absence of heat. Are we that liberal in our thinking of evil merely being the absence of good? Something dormant and passive? Remember, evil becomes sin when it is consciously put into play by human beings. We human beings have been given free will and are free to activate evil through our thoughts and through our deeds. However, Adonai Elohim does control evil. Read with me, please, from Romans 8, wherein we find, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called in accordance with his purpose. In this verse, Rav Shaul is making clear to us everything to work together includes evil as well as good. This theme of Jehovah using evil for good is found in the story of Yosef and his being sold into slavery by his brothers. Following the death of their father, Yaakov, Yosef's brothers were afraid he would take revenge upon them. Listen to Yosef's words recorded in Genesis 50. You meant to do me harm, but God meant it for good, so that it would come about as it is today, with many people's lives being saved. And Adonai Elohim also used evil to secure the release of his children from the hold of eternal death, when Adonai Yeshua was murdered on the cursed stake. Having thus far established basic understandings of Adonai creating and his using evil forces for good, let's examine some of the ways in which he does use evil for his good. First, Adonai uses evil and the suffering that comes from its implementation to promote the good news of Adonai Yeshua. We learn this in Philippians 1. Now, brothers, I want you to know that what has happened to me has helped in advancing the good news. It has become clear to the whole palace and everyone else that it is because of the Messiah that I am in chains. Rav Shaul suffered greatly at the hands of the Romans and his own people because of his faith in his trust in Adonai Yeshua. It was through his suffering, brought about by the evil deeds of others, that Shaul was able to share the gospel of Adonai Yeshua so powerfully. Because of our trust in Adonai Elohim, Adonai Yeshua, we believers need no longer fear suffering and the implementation of evil. We have been given the promise and assurance of everlasting life with our beloved Abba. I know there are some of you right now who are suffering from the actions of others. Know clearly, Adonai Elohim is aware of your suffering and is asking you to use this as an opportunity to stand firm in him and to share with others the trust that you have in him. Not the suffering. He's not asking us to share the suffering with others. He's asking us to share the trust we have in him in the midst of our suffering. Use your pain, physical and emotional, to display to others how committed you are to our beloved Abba and his son, Adonai Yeshua. Adonai Tzevaot uses the suffering caused by evil to draw people back to himself. We observe this quite clearly in the parable of the prodigal son, in which Adonai Yeshua tells us his desire to draw all unsaved Israel to him through those suffering in the evil of the exile. In 2 Corinthians 7, Rav Shaul assures us, pain handled in God's way produces a turning from sin to God, which leads to salvation. And there is nothing to regret in that. We all know of relatives and friends led astray by the allure of sin and who have turned from trusting God, our Abba. Their experiences of pain and suffering brought about by the evil they have activated may, in Adonai's time, bring them to his saving grace and back to salvation. However, they need our prayers to let Adonai Tzevaot know we are behind them, standing firm in his promise to bring all into his family. I urge all of us to be praying for our lost brothers and sisters, first to the Jew and then the Gentile, as Rav Shaul reminds us in Romans 1. Adonai Yeshua sometimes uses the suffering that is caused by evil to train us to live a righteous life filled with joy. Now, isn't that a conundrum? How do we, in the midst of our suffering, live a life filled with joy? Let's face it, living righteously is not easy, particularly when we are also living in the world and are faced with constant temptation to be of the world. However, when we sin, and we all do sin, he may use the suffering which is embedded within that sin as a teaching tool, reminding us that we belong to him and not to the world of sin. King David assures us of this reality as he wrote in Psalm 119, "Before I was humbled, I used to go astray, but now I observe your word. It is for my good that I have been humbled. It is so that I would learn your laws. I know, Adonai, that your rulings are righteous, that even when you humble me, you are faithful." When you are suffering, do you know if this is a way for Adonai to remind you of your origins in him? It is his purpose to train and teach us to adhere to a more righteous life, one focused on him rather than on the world around us. Pray through your suffering, dear ones, asking for our beloved Holy Spirit to guide us in this time of affliction, helping us learn the lesson life has for each one of us at the soul level. Sometimes the suffering which comes from sin, the activation of evil, is designed by Adonai Elohim to humble us and enable humility to be within us all the time. Perhaps this is a chronic pain or an affliction upon our systems. Perhaps it is an attack upon our very physical condition. Whatever the suffering we are enduring, think of it as Abba's caring for us so much. He wants us to be constantly aware of how easily it is to be drawn into sin. Be joyful through the sin of suffering, realizing this is Abba's love for us made concrete. Rav Shaul shared with us how Adonai and Yeshua ensured humility would be constantly reinforced, as we read in 2 Corinthians 12. "Therefore, to keep me from being overly proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from the adversary to pound away at me so that I wouldn't grow conceited. Dear ones, recognize that if our life goes along without any thorns, the evil one doesn't know us, doesn't know what we are doing, doesn't know that we are spreading the good word, doesn't know because we may not be doing anything. We may be sitting, listening, but not doing. But when we do, that arouses the attention and the indignation of the enemy. That alerts the enemy to the fact that we are engaged in the battle against him. And he will not sit still. Be joyful in our suffering. For because of that suffering, we know we are doing God's will. And we know he is with us. So why is it that we believing human beings sometimes slip back into a world of sin? Is it because we lack the perseverance and stamina to remain on the narrow path, avoiding the ditches on either side? When this happens, Jehovah may use the pain and suffering which comes to us from being in the cold, dank ditch to teach us about perseverance and to help us build strength of character. Another purpose of his using evil may be to bring hope into our lives. I realize this may seem counterintuitive. However, recognize when we return to him in prayer and humility, he gives us hope in the future and reminds us we are his for eternity. This is the hope which will provide strength to climb out of the ditch and return to his narrow path. What goes through your mind when you witness someone standing on the side of the road with a sign reading, "Help me, please. I am homeless and hungry"? Do you greet this person with derision and scorn, yelling at him or her, or thinking, "Why don't you get a job? Are you that lazy?" We have no idea of the mental or physical conditions of people who beg. Are they suffering from a debilitating mental condition and do not have a clue of how to help themselves? Sometimes our beloved Abba afflicts us with the pain and suffering caused by the implementation of evil to bring us to a more compassionate place, a place where we may develop empathy for others who are also suffering. The huge question for us to answer: do we want to develop compassion and kindness for others less fortunate than us? And there is always someone less fortunate than us. Once more, Rav Shaul has some sage advice for us, as he writes in 2 Corinthians 1. "Praise be God, Father of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, compassionate Father, God of all encouragement and comfort, who encourages us in all our trials so that we can encourage others in whatever trials they may be undergoing with the encouragement we ourselves have received from Adonai Elohim Tzevaot." How do we glorify Jehovah through our suffering brought upon us via evil? Whenever he heals us emotionally, physically, or psychologically, we are to proclaim his glory, and his glory will be proclaimed through our healing. The healing of Naaman by God through Elisha as we read in 2 Kings 5, brought glory to Adonai, as the fear of Adonai was transferred to the people of Aram. Adonai Yeshua's healing of the man born blind was also for Adonai's glory, as we are told in John 9. Back to Yosef and the reason for his suffering through the evil actions of his brothers. We discover another of Adonai's purposes for the suffering which emanates from sin. Once again, we go to Genesis 50, where we read earlier, "You meant to do me harm, but Adonai meant it for good, so that it would come about as it is today, with many people's lives being saved." The uncertainty for us is our lack of knowing how indeed our suffering from the sin generated from evil impacts upon others. How can we know whether our suffering brings about others being saved? We know that our complaining doesn't. In fact, we know that our complaining brings others down and makes them question whether or not they have truly been saved. But only through Adonai's revelation will we have this knowledge that our suffering will impact upon others and help bring them before the Lord. Beloved, never assume there is only suffering from our sin or the sins of others and nothing else. Adonai Elohim Tzevaot uses whatever he chooses to show his power and glory and to draw others to himself. He also uses our suffering, whether self-induced or from others' behaviors, as teaching tools for our spiritual growth and development, drawing us closer to him. As we travel through these dark periods of our lives, let us constantly praise his name and glorify the one who brings us life everlasting. Abba Father, our great and beloved Abba, we all in this room pray that the suffering that has been visited upon us will have positive and lasting impact on ourselves and others. Not in a physical way that causes us constant pain or turmoil, but in a spiritual way that draws us closer to you, that allows us to share your message of good news throughout the world, that brings others closer to you and allows the joy that is within us leap out to be shared with others, to show them that even through our suffering, we can be joyous because we have you in our hearts. Abba Father, Abba Bishamayim, we thank you. We thank you for all that you do through our suffering, so that what is visited upon us will not be in vain. We thank you and we praise you. Baruch Hashem Yeshua Moshechina. In the blessed name of our Messiah Yeshua. Amen.